Good morning, everyone. This is a work session for the North Dakota Public Service Commission on case number PU-22-391. This would be the Summit Pipeline Company, as I'm sure everybody knows. One of the few cases where I've memorized the case number after almost 800 filings. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and a neutral decision maker taking the place of one of our commissioners who had a conflict, Mr. Tim Dawson. So in previous, did either of you have any opening comments or anything?
None.
Okay. So we've had several of these work sessions, and again, I think it's a lot of the same faces, but in case there's somebody new, unlike our hearings where we take evidence and as well as testimony from people, this and the previous couple times we've gathered are work sessions. They're obviously open to the public. However, because unlike what I think some people maybe think, we don't go meet behind closed doors and come up with a decision. We're very open and transparent. And so these are our opportunities to get together and talk about things in the case so that staff has some idea on proposing a legal order that will make up our decision. And we're always prepared with those orders to be very detailed so that we're prepared for legal challenges if they come about. So in previous work sessions, we've talked about a number of topics about unfair easement acquisition tactics, mitigation payments to the Ag Commissioner, which is something that applies to wind, but it was brought up along the way. Local road use agreements, foreign investment laws, insurance, and there was a question on insurance, and so we'll get back into that a little bit more today because there's been some subsequent filings to answer that question. We've talked about dispersion modeling and safety, about other state and federal agency concerns, because when we get a siting application, these applications go out to about 30 various state and federal agencies to solicit comments. And of course, in most specific cases, the majority of those don't have any connection to it. But in almost every siting case, some of them do. And so we've gotten feedback on those. We've talked about exclusion and avoidance areas that are specifically mentioned in our siting law. We talked about dust control, which I expressed some concerns about the record as it was. I just felt was inadequate, and we'll get back into that more because there's been a subsequent filing. We talked about the process of eminent domain and how that works legally. That's not really a PSC thing, but it came up a lot during hearings. The federal CO2 sequestration policy, the federal oversight of pipeline safety, which falls to PHMSA, which is a federal agency. It's the Pipeline Hazardous Safety something act. Materials, I guess. So for today, one of the things that I mentioned before on the insurance, there was a question, there's been several filings on it, in the low 770s are the numbers. I know in number 773, and I know the general public doesn't necessarily review all these filings like we do. I'll just read from this. I'm starting in the middle, so this is not the whole filing, but and this is a filing from the company. And in this paragraph I'm going to read, there's a few places where there's the dot, dot, dot in the middle, so there were probably some more words or pauses in there, but this is the essence of the comment. And this is a quote from a hearing that we held April 22nd. And it says, Mr. Powell testified that anything that's caused by the pipeline or construction or operation of it is totally our responsibility. And in the easement agreement, we very clearly say, at least I think it's very clear, that we're indemnifying the landowner of everything except a willful, egregious act. So they have to dig the pipeline up and intentionally damage it. Anything aside, they can, if they accidentally hit it in a farming practice or something like that, that's still our responsibility. So to me, that kind of answered that. Is there anything else as far as insurance that either of you would like to discuss?
No, it's been addressed.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. And then I had mentioned that I had some concerns on their dust mitigation plan that I felt was inadequate. And for a review again, it kind of emphasized dust mitigation along roads at residences. And my concern that it's important not only at the residences, but for the ag land along the way. Subsequent to that, we had a filing, it's our docket number 770, and it's a new dust mitigation plan. And in there, the page number isn't marked, I think it's about the third page or something. In the areas to be watered include, but are not limited to the following, and it mentions about seven different things. And then the eighth one is unpaved county roads near occupied dwellings and at locations where use of such roads is reasonably expected to have an adverse impact to nearby hay production land, livestock grazing land, or actively growing crops. I'm the one who brought up this concern, and I am pleased with that response. And I think it answers my concern and probably the concerns of people who have been in the business of agriculture and lived out in a heavy construction area where all of a sudden some summer you find truck after truck going by. So I'm satisfied with that response. Did either of you have anything more on dust mitigation? Okay. On specific landowner concerns, that was one thing that we did, and maybe sort of atypical, but I will say siting applications tend to be, I often have associated them with building permits in a town or something. Somebody comes in and wants to build the garage and they have a certain high wall or a certain distance to the sidewalk or something like that. And the city says, no, that's too close to the sidewalk. We won't allow that. It's not that they never get to build their garage. They usually move it over a little further to get in line with the ordinance. And so most of our cases are approved because by the time we get to making an order, the companies have changed their application to be in line with the siting laws. But this was a denial last year. And so in that denial, we listed four landowners and some individual concerns that they had as examples. And I think maybe some people misinterpreted that, at least in my mind. It was never meant to put them in a different class or to say that those were the only individual landowner concerns. I thought it was important to list some examples so people would understand our process, especially the people who wanted this and why it was being denied. So this reconsideration has some really large reroutes. It has a lot of smaller reroutes. And so I guess at this point, I'm wondering, are there any, you know, specific landowner concerns like that that either of you are looking at that you want to discuss or deal with specifically in an order?
You know, the dockets have been filed where Jordy lists out individual landowners. And the response from the company takes it from a more holistic approach. So we really don't know if things are being worked on or if there's a barrier, but that's between them. The easement is between them. I really hope that we are making some headways into between the company and the landowners. Where it's at. If I want specifics, I mean, we don't get him. We do from Jordy, from the company. It's just more, where are we at as far as the easements? I just hope that there is movement towards resolution. If it's a reroute or if it's a signed easement or whatever the issue may be. I think we're down into some categories.
As I've said before, I think there's three distinct categories of what goes on here. We have the land agreement, we have the siting, and we have the operation of a pipeline. And I think our focus is on the siting of the pipeline. When there's serious problems or problems that are brought to light as to the agreement, I think that we look at those and try to place pressure on people to come into conformity with just being reasonable. But at this time, I don't see anything that falls into that agreement section that is coming in front of me that I see out there anymore.
Okay. Another topic that I wanted to bring up here a little bit has to do with the ordinances, local ordinances. In our denial, we did declare, though, that based on the new law, now I think it was 2019, but I'm not sure. I'm not talking about a 50 or 100-year-old law, a relatively new one, that with regard to pipelines specifically, not electric power lines, but pipelines, they changed it and we declared, and I think it's very clear that the PSC guidelines for siting of pipelines supersedes local ordinances. And Docket 753, the company has requested that we make a determination on reasonableness of a couple of the ordinances. This is just a legal thing. I don't know if you have a comment or can just turn this over to Mr. Pelham for some thoughts on it.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. That's right. In Docket 753, which is the post-hearing brief of the company, it has raised the reasonableness of the two ordinances from Emmons County and Burleigh County. And I just want to make one thing clear. This particular issue is not a new one. It is effectively a renewal. If you look all the way back to June of 2023, Docket 282, the company's brief in support of its motion to declare the county ordinances superseded and preempted, this issue is in there. There is numerous briefing on this issue, both for and against by the interveners and the company, and when this commission in August of 2023 denied the petition, it found the motion to preempt moot. It was then renewed in September of 2023 after the reconsideration was granted. And then it was again briefed. And then we had an argument here, right here in this room, with the commission issuing its order on February 7th, 2024 in docket 440. This issue is certainly still before the commission. The commission has always retains jurisdiction over cases, even after they're decided. Certainly has the jurisdiction and has the ability to make a decision on this. And specifically where the company is arguing, just so the commission is aware, it's Century Code section 49-22.1-13 sub C, and I'll say it again. It's Century Code 49-22.1-13 sub 2C, I'm sorry, sub 2C, so 13-2C. And I'll just briefly read it. I'm not going to read every word, but the portion that's relevant is the second sentence. It says, a permit may supersede and preempt the requirements of a political subdivision if the applicant shows by a preponderance of the evidence the regulations or ordinances are unreasonably restrictive in view of existing technology, factors of cost or economics, or needs of consumers regarding of their location, or are in direct conflict with state or federal laws or rules. I think it's that last line that is the relevant part that the company is presenting and the parties have argued. And if you look at the post-hearing briefing of the company, Burley County, the Geordi interveners, the Emmons County, all address this argument. So if you are looking for more specifics on that particular issue, that's where it's found in the post-hearing briefings. And it is extensively briefed. I know one of the intervener parties spent about 35 pages briefing this issue. So it is squarely before the commission to make a decision on that. If it chooses in its order, whatever that is, that is what the company is asking specifically with the ordinances, that further decision be made by the commission, and it's resisted by the interveners except for the Liona interveners.
And so in our siting law, the state guidance on it from the distance from the pipeline to an occupied structure is 500 feet, right?
That's correct.
And the Emmons County ordinance is a mile and a half, right?
I don't have specifics, but that sounds right. Certainly is more than 500 feet.
If there's, and maybe this is something Victor can dig around on, because he's better at finding these things than I am by a country mile. But I took note of docket 49, if there's something subsequent that alters that. But docket 49 shows it as a mile and a half. And docket 206 shows Burley County's at 2 miles.
That is correct. I've reviewed both of those ordinances extensively. Particularly Burley County has had a couple of different versions of theirs since we started this case. But that is correct. Emmons County's setback from a residence is a mile and a half or 7,920 feet. And Burley County is 2 miles or 10,000.
So the state law is 500 and these are, one is almost 8,000 and one is over 10,000.
Correct.
Okay. Else on the local ordinances? So again, dockets 49 and 206. Are there any other general topics or anything else before us that we should discuss in a work session when we're all together? of course, everyone is always able, as the process of writing a draft order or sometimes multiple draft orders, if we're too far from the same page, goes through staff, and so, you know, everybody will have the same opportunity to work confidentially with staff on an order. Or like I say, if there's just too many differences, sometimes it's, we've had cases where among the commissioners there's an order and an alternate order brought before the meeting. But so, but the, unless something comes up, because I don't know of any other general topics to go into. So unless something comes up for us to call another work session, I guess I'm thinking it might be time for staff to start working on an order. Okay, we're ready to shut it down.
I'm just wondering, the last update we got on any land was September 9th. I'm just wondering if... Yes, I'm just wondering, our last update on landowners was September 9th. I'm just wondering if it's possible to get an update, if there's been any movement, just a general statement, or...
I don't have specifics other than anecdotal that there has been some acquisition, but I understand the company is going to be filing an update of easement acquisitions with the commission, but I don't believe that's happened yet.
Okay. I appreciate it. No, I concur with the draft order.
Agreed.
Okay. This work session is closed.